So we are holding at the top of Intesta Medalis, which puts us exactly where we should be. So let's see if we can keep that up. Mishnah says, Yesh to'una shemen u'levoina. You have certain kinds of menachas that require both oil and levoina, as we've learned earlier in the Masechta, that a sort of standard issue, koven mincha, comes with, is made of flour and oil mixed together, and then levoina sprinkled on the top. So some kinds of menachas require both of those. Some kinds require shemen v'loy levoina. Some require oil but not levoina. As we'll see, the Mishnah will continue on and then tell us which kind are which. Levoina v'loy shemen. You have other ones that only require levoina and don't require oil. There's no oil in the mix. We'll see. And then you have a fourth kind, lo levoina v'loy shemen. Then you have another kind of mincha that doesn't require or is not supposed to have either one. And mincha chota is one of them, right? So ve'ela to'unet shemen levoina. The following ones require both oil and levoina. Number one, mincha tasolet, a mincha of plain flour, where, again, we're talking about it's not baked, it's not fried or anything, so the person brings it as raw flour mixed with oil and levoina sprinkled on the top. So Rashi points out the reason why that one is listed first in the Mishnah, Rashi says, is because that's the one about which it says that you need shemen and levoina, so therefore, like all the other ones are learned from it. We'll see also in the Gemara, there are, as the pasuk mentions, shemen and levoina in connection with that. So the other one, well, for example, by minchas mafe tamer and minchas rikikin and whatever the other ones that we're going to describe in a minute, the ones that are baked or fried or what have you, it mentions oil, it doesn't mention levoina. So we learn them all from minchas toilet. Because we learn it, because of what we have, zoit toilet and minchas toilet, achas achol aminochas. And in general, the same rules apply to all, yeah. No, not zoit aminchas, zoit aminchas, zoit aminchas, zoit aminchas, something else. We're saying zoist tarda famin chayin. Rashi also says, by the way, that it means, Rashi also mentions over here that it means a person says, I'm making a nidava that I'm just going to bring a mincha without specifying what kind, then it would be a raw flour mincha. We're actually going to have a machlokas about that towards the end of the Masechta, whether he dafkas to bring that kind or whether it means he can bring any of the five types. Anyway, so that's mincha tasolos. V'hamachvas, also a mincha that's fried in a shallow frying pan. V'hamacheshes, and one that's fried in a deep frying pan, which we'll talk about in the next couple of blocks. We'll talk about how those are made. V'hachalois, and then you have a mincha that can be made with brought as baked chalois. Again, we have to remember, when we say chalois over here, we said the other day that all menachos, except for shtei alechem and certain of the lachmei torah have to be machvas. So we don't mean that they're chalos in the sense like the chalos we have on our Shabbos tables that are made with yeast. They're masa, they're just thick masa.
So
that's
chalos. They're like our chalos shape. But
not necessarily in shape, but the point is they're thick as opposed to masa that we... I don't know, they're called whatever. It wasn't necessarily a particular shape they had to have, but they were thick masa as opposed to thin masa. That's chalos, vodka kicking, and then you have...
You cut them with a knife, or...
Well, no. Well, I mean, yeah, I guess when you were going to eat them, you cut them, or you bit into them, or whatever, yeah. Vodka kicking, and then you also have wafer-like menachas, which are more similar to our masas, thin ones. Minchas koinim, also a mincha that's brought by koinim, even though the whole thing is burnt on the mizbeach, it still has the rules of a regular mincha that has to have shemen and levoina. Minchas koin mashiach, also the mincha of the Kohen Mashiach, the mincha of the Kohen Gadol, the mincha Chavitin, that we talked about a few days ago, that also contains both Shemen and Levoina. Minchas Ovid Gecharim. It's called mincha Chavitin because it's fried in a machvas, in a shallow frying pan.
It's not a mincha
Chavitin in the sense that it's fried in a machvas, in a shallow frying pan. But we also call it Minchas Kohen Mashiach because it's brought specifically by the Kohen Gadol. It doesn't actually mean only the anointed Kohen Gadol. It's true also of a Kohen Gadol who wasn't anointed and was Merubah B'Gadim that we learned about in Herodias. But Chavitin means, in modern Hebrew, it means omelets, but never mind that. It comes from the Shorosh Machvas, which means a shallow frying pan. So therefore, this is a mincha that's baked in a shallow frying pan, that's fried in a shallow frying pan. We're going to learn in a few blocks that it comes out harder than a minchas machesha. So a minchas machesha is soft, this one is hard. Okay, anyway, that's minchas koin.
Are you allowed to make menachos today?
Yeah, I guess you're allowed to make the recipe, I don't see why not. Mincha, you're not allowed to offer them outside of this mincha, of course. Minchas ovid kechavim, also the mincha of a goy. Now, you have some of the Mephoshim say that the Mishnah didn't really need to mention this one, or the next one actually is Minchas Noshim, Minchas that are brought by women. Now, Rashi later on learns that actually what it is, since the Torah doesn't specify what the rules are for a Jewish woman's mincha, or lahavdil, for a goy's mincha, therefore we might assume, if the Mishnah hadn't told us, that they don't have the same rules, and therefore the Mishnah has to tell us that they do. You have other Mephoshim who learn that not necessarily. The Mishnah may have just mentioned them, since it's mentioning Menchas Koyanim, then it mentions a couple of other less usual cases also, to be complete. But not that we would necessarily think that they had, not that we would really think they have any other din. You have a Chal, by the way. We're going to have a Machlokas in a couple of weeks. You have a Machlokas whether a Goy can even offer a Mincha in the first place. That a Goy can offer an Ola, can donate an Ola to be offered in the Beis Mikdash, that we know for sure he can. We learned about that at the end of Zvachim. We had a Machlokas whether he can do a Shlomim as well. You have a Machlokas also whether he's able to offer a Mincha. Our Mishnah would be going according to the opinion that he can. Yeah. Okay. Well, every Chachavim, same difference. Every Chachavim is a change by the censors. Well, it's just a change by the senses. I mean, it doesn't, the original Mishnah probably said goy or nachri or something. No, not necessarily. He could still be worshipping his getchkes, and then one time he decides also to send a korban to the Beis Mikdash. Yeah,
that's saying
no
that he's
a nachri. Yeah, what's the difference? I mean, a goy is a goy. I mean, we'll get to the Hefri Doctor, get a kosher to offer korbanos. Ish, malamet, shenodrin, nedobis, kisra. We'll talk about it later on, Ayin Gimel, but yeah. Historically, by the way, they had towards the end of the second Beis Mikdash, for example, when you had Eretz Yisrael was under the rule of the Romans, and then years before the Churban, they regularly had that the Roman emperors would donate money or animals or whatever for korbanos to be offered on their behalf in the Beis Mikdash. Okay, the fact of the matter is, if it was against halacha to do it, if the guys in Eretz Yisrael, then they wouldn't have been allowed to do that. What do you have a story in Gittin over there where the korban that comes from the emperor has a mum in it, and Reb Chaim ben Akula says you can't be makir this. Whereas all this time they didn't have a problem being makir this, because okay, the guys in Eretz Yisrael are so white, and still offer a korban tasha. All right, anyway, let's go on. Okay. Also the Mincha Sa'oimer that's offered on the second day of Pesach, that one also requires oil and levoina. Okay. So those are all the ones that require both Shemin and levoina. Next, category number two, Minchas Nesachim, hello.
Hi.
Hello, welcome. Minchas Nesachim, the Mincha that accompanies most types of korbanos, that accompanies an oil or a shlomim or what have you. That consists of Turna Shemin Ba'in Turna Levoina. That one consists of flour and oil, but it does not require Levoina to be sprinkled on top of it. We're holding on and testing it out. The Minchas Nesachim, the one that accompanies an oil or a shlomim or a toda or various other kinds of korban. Lechem Aponim, category number three, the Lechem Aponim, Ton Levoina Ba'in Ton Shemin. That one requires Levoina. You have the two spoonfuls of Levoina that are placed on the Shulchan together with the Lechem Aponim, and those are offered on Shabbos on the Mizbeach, and then the Lechem Aponim is distributed among the Kohenim and Eden. Ba'in Ton Shemin, but the Lechem Aponim is not made with oil, it's just made with flour and water. And category number four, Shteh Lechem, or Mincha Chote or Mincha Knois, the Shteh Lechem that are offered on Shavuot, and the Mincha of a Chote, who brings it in place of a Korban Chatos for certain cases, and Mincha Knois, and Mincha Knois, the Mincha of a Chote, all those, Ain't Tonin, Lo Shemin, Lo Levona, those don't contain either oil or Levona. So those are the four categories. Okay, so the Gemara starts off. Amar Papa, Kol Hecha de Snan, in every case, in all of the menachas that we mentioned in our Mishnah, all the whole list of menachas that we had in our Mishnah, Esther Tanan, you actually have to do, what you do is you bake it as 10 loaves. Meaning, when we said, for example, in our Mishnah, that you have minchas machavas, or mincha that's fried in a frying pan, or machesha that's fried in a deep fryer, or chalas, or rikikin, etc., each time it means 10 of those. So you would have the isorin of flour, for example, when you bake it in a machva, it will be baked as 10 smaller pancakes or pieces or whatever. The pashas at the same time. But yeah, actually it is at the same time. We're going to learn in a couple of days. We're going to have some diagrams and Rashi. The Gemara is going to talk about, and we're going to have some diagrams in Rashi, what the machvas and what the macheshes looked like. Yes, they had actually little things in there. It was little holes, kind of sort of like a muffin pan or whatever to be able to, yeah. So it means you have to have Esther. It means you have to have Dr. Tenth then. Now, what does Rekhapa want to point out by that? Now, by the way, Rashi actually learns in later on in Or Masechta, in the next pair, in two prasim from now, rather, Rashi Ksavyad learns over there that actually the same is true of a mincha solas. Rashi has an interesting shita, which is, even though a mincha solas, a raw flour mincha, the person originally brings it as raw flour, Rashi learns that before the kohmes is offered on the mizbeach, you actually have to take that flour and and mixed with oil and bake it into 10 chalas, as we're saying it over here, and only then do you offer the kohmes and continue with the procedure of it.
You have to bake 10 of them before you...
Again, you have to take the isorin, divide it into 10 pieces, and then and bake it. That's how Rashi learns. So therefore, Rashi says, when we say over here, kol hecha d'tznan, it means literally in every case, even if it's a raw flour mincha, before the job of bringing it is completed, it has to be baked. The Rambam does not, or maybe not before the kohen is offered, maybe before the kohen eat it, whatever. The Rambam doesn't learn that way. The Rambam learns a raw flour mincha. Fine, you take the kohen, you take the handful from it. Afterwards, that's offered on the mizbeach. Afterwards, it still remains raw. And then afterwards, the kohen can do with it whatever they want. They can eat it raw if they want. They can fry it, they can bake it, they can whatever. They're not required to make it into 10 loaves.
For Russia, you divide it first, and then you take the
kohen. And then, you take the kohen when it's still raw, but then you would bake the rest into 10 loaves. Okay. Fine. The point is, the Gemara says, La Pukin the Rav Shimon, Rav Papa wants to inform us not like Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon would say that when a person makes a neder, that I'm going to bring a baked mincha. Now, the Chachamim over there say a baked mincha. There's two types of baked mincha. You can have it baked into thick loaves, which are called chalas, and you can have it baked as thin wafers, which are called rikikin. The Chachamim hold it's all of one or all of the other. 10 chalas or 10 rikikin. You can't mix and match. Rav Shimon doesn't hold like that. Rav Shimon holds. You can bring 5 chalas and 5 rikikin if you want.
But not 3 and 7.
Well, whatever. The point is half and one half of them. I actually think it means 3 and 7. I don't know. The point is that it doesn't have to be 10 of one or 10 of the other. Kamash Malan, therefore, the couple wants to inform us, Deloy, that it's not like that. When our Mishnah says that our Mishnah mentions all this list of menachos, and it says each one of them has to be baked into 10, that means that chalos and rikikin are two different types, and each one has to be baked into 10. There's no half chalos and half rikikin. That's one explanation of Rashi. Then Rashi has another explanation, which is like this. If you count the number of menachos that I mentioned in the first section of our Mishnah, you'll find there are 10 of them. Minchas ha-solas, v'ha-machvas, v'ha-macheshes, v'ha-chalos, v'ha-rikikin, that's 5 so far, Koyanim, Koyan Mashiach, Goy, Noshim, and Omer. That makes 10. So the point is that according to the second explanation in Rashi, what Rav Papa is saying is as follows. The truth is, of these 10 menachos that we listed, not all of them are made into 10 loaves, because in fact, you have an exception. The Minchas Koyan Mashiach actually is made into 12 loaves. So therefore, what Rav Papa means, according to the second explanation of Rashi, is the total number we had in our Mishnah is 10, whereas according to Rav Shimon, you would have 11 types, because according to Rav Shimon, you could have all chalas, all rikikin, or mix and match, some one, some the other. That would be an 11th type. Rav Papa wants to inform us the Mishnah mentions specifically 10 types, implying that the halacha is not like Rav Shimon, because Rav Shimon would say effectively that there are 11 types.
And the 11th one?
The 11th one would be a mix of chalas and rikikin. So therefore,
you
can say or chalas or rikikin or some of one and some of the other. So the Papa wants to inform us when our Mishnah lists Dabka 10 types, that implies that our Mishnah is not like Rav Shimon. But not both. Right. Okay. So now we're going to analyze. Our Mishnah then went through again, we have the four categories in the Mishnah. What requires Shemin and what requires oil and Levoina, what requires one but not the other, and which one requires neither. Now we're going to go through and explain how we derive that applies to each of these types. Turn it up on it. We learn it a brighter. The Pasuk says, V'nasata aleha shemen, the Pasuk says, regarding the minchas bikurim, which is the omer, the korban omer, the Pasuk says you should place on it oil, if aleha is a mute, on it implying, but not on something else, means v'loya lechem aponim shemen, implying you don't put oil on the lechem aponim, you don't make the lechem aponim with oil. Now, why do you need the Pasuk to tell you that? Because if you didn't have that, shiyachol v'haladinu, because you would think, if not, you should make a kavachomer. Uma minchas nisachim she'en atrona levoina, mabach e minchas nisachim, the kind that accompanies a sheep or a ram or a bull for an oiler or a shlomim, which she'en atrona levoina, that kind of mincha does not have to include levoina, as we'll derive later how it doesn't. The Pasuk doesn't mention Levoina about it, but we'll see later how we know that it doesn't. Nevertheless, Te'una Shemen, and yet it requires oil. Lechem Akonim, Shetoun Levoina. Well, then the Lechem Akonim, where the Torah tells us it requires Levoina, because you have the two spoonfuls of Levoina with it. Einadin, Shetoun Shemen. How much more so you would think that it should require that it's mixed with oil, just like the Minchas Mizrachim. Yeah, also a consideration, yeah. The Lechem Akonim is eaten by the Kohen, and you would think you want to make it richer, make it with oil, yeah. Therefore, Talmud Loma Aleha. That is why the Pasuk had to specifically mention that you're not allowed to put oil, that you put oil Aleha on it, meaning the Korban Omer, implying, as we said at the beginning, Aleha Shemen V'lo Lachem Afanim Shemen, meaning that oil only goes on the Omer, does not go on the Lachem Afanim. So that's where we get so far what we said in our Mishnah. Otherwise, you would think, right? Kavachem, the Lachem Afanim should include oil.
And that's because?
Because we just said it, Kavachomer, from the Levoina. We just said the Kavachomer, that Lechem Afanim requires Levoina, the Minchas Nesachim doesn't, yet the Minchas Nesachim requires oil, so surely Lechem Afanim should require oil. That is why we need the word Aleha to tell us that now. And that's where we get what we said in our Mishnah, that the Lechem Afanim is in Category 3, it requires Levoina, doesn't require oil. Next, the Pasuk also says, the Pasuk also continues in connection with the Minchas, with the Omer. The Pasuk continues, V'samta Aleha Levoina, you should place Levoina on it. And again, the word Aleha is unnecessary for the simple meaning of the Pasuk, and it's a miut, meaning only on it, not on something else. What does that come to exclude? It means Aleha Levoina, V'lei al Minchas Nesachim Levoina. It means you only place oil, Levoina. You only place Levoina on the Omer, but not on Minchas Nesachim. Now, why not? Again, why do you need that pasuk? Should Yachov Aleidinu? Again, if you didn't have that pasuk, if you didn't have that word Aleha, you would think to make a Kavachomer the other way around. Uma lechem afonim she'en eton shemen, mada for lechem afonim which does not require oil, as we just established, based on the first Aleha, ton levoina, and yet it requires levoina, that's offered along with it. Minchas Nesachim Shetouna Shemen, so then the Minchas Nesachim does require oil. Ein Adin Shetouna Levoina, you would think how much more so that it requires Levoina.
What's the connection?
The connection is, because you would think that you would make a Kavachomer between one kind of Korban and another, the same way as we did the previous one.
So what's the Kavachomer based on?
The Kavachomer is based on that one contains Shemen and not Levoina, and therefore you would think, but yet you would think the other one which requires Levoina also requires Shemen, and vice versa.
If one contains shemen but not levoina, you imply that the second one would necessarily.
You would think you could think to make a kavachomer. You could think to make a kavachomer, like we said before in the first discussion.
No,
yeah, because the logic is that we would think that a korban that requires one component, and that if you have a certain korban that requires one component and another one that doesn't require it, then you would think the first one, but the second one requires a different component. You would think the first one should require that one also. You would think that means the Torah wants the first one that we're starting with to be more mehudar. So, for example, here in our discussion over here, you would think, given that the lechem afanim requires levoina, but it doesn't require oil. But in other words, we see the Torah is trying to make it more beautiful, let's say, by having levoina with it. So you would think by the same logic, the Minchas Nesachim, the Torah already says that it should be beautiful in that it should contain oil. You would think all the more so, the Torah wants you to beautify it more using Levoina. Therefore, it's Talmud Loma, Aleha, that is why the Pasuk has to say in connection with the Omer, the word Aleha, meaning Aleha Levoina, V'loya Minchas Nesachim Levoina. So that's where we learn that it doesn't apply to the Minchas Nesachim.
If you have Levoina and oil, it's more beautified. But
you would think, not. Yeah. So you would think, yeah. That's how we're learning. Tosfos does deal with the point. The fact of the matter is, if we didn't have these words Aleha, on the face of it, the two arguments that we have so far are not parallel, but the point is, each one is kind of begging the question of the other one. You start in the first argument with the assumption that the Minchas Nesachim doesn't require Levoina, and then in the second one, you're questioning that assumption and saying maybe it does, and vice versa with the Lechem Afanim. So Tosfos addresses that point and says the fact of the matter is, you would think still, if never mind a Kavah Chomer, you would think, okay, a Kavah Chomer maybe doesn't work because you're begging the question in each one, but still you would make a mamma sinu, let's say. You would say the Lechem Aponim is a type of mincha. The Minchas Nesachim is a type of mincha. Whatever applies to one applies to the other. So therefore we should cross over and say one needs Shemen, therefore by a Mamasinu, by a Binyan Av, the other one should. One requires Levona, so by a Binyan Av, the other one should. Or, for that matter, we might say, okay, we're not going to learn one from the other, but we'll learn. They're both menachos. So they'd be like regular run-of-the-mill menachos. Regular menachos require oil on Levona, so maybe these two should also. That is why we needed for each one of them the word Allaha to tell us that not. Well, because it's not. We're said. Because we would have learned one. Because we would have learned from a regular mitzvah. The expression in the pasuk, Yaakov, the expression in the pasuk is regarding the korban ha'omer. It says you bring an obvious kol ba'esh yeref tarmel. You have fresh grain that was fresh barley that was roasted, etc. We'll talk about in the next paragraph how exactly it was done. Anyway, then the pasuk continues. The samta aleha, the nasata aleha shemen, the samta aleha levina. If we didn't have the words aleha, it could say the nasata shemen, the samta levina. It would mean the same thing. So the words aleha are available for these drashim. It could have said, no. In other words, the simple meaning of the pasuk would have still been preserved without the word aleha. You bring this korban, the nasata shemen, you place oil over the samta levina, and you place levina.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Fine. Then when the okay. Now, you have the pasuk, so the whole pasuk goes like this. The nasata aleha shemen, you should place oil on it. The samta aleha levona, you should place levona on it. And then the pasuk finishes off, mincha hi, it is a mincha. So what are we learning from those two remaining words, mincha and hi? So mincha l'rabis mincha shmini l'levona. The word mincha comes to include that also the mincha that was offered during the inauguration, during the miluim of the Mishkan, where they had, among the korbanos that they brought, that it describes at the beginning of Parshas Shmini, it says they had to bring a mincha mixed with oil, and there it doesn't say levona. The word mincha in our pasuk over here comes to teach us that mincha also, that was brought that eighth day of the miluim, also required levona.
One second. Last time we had a discussion on the ad of he and who, we said that when
we're talking from the word mincha, not the word he yet. We're saying from the word mincha. Yeah, from the word mincha. Fine, we haven't gotten to he yet. Oh, you're talking about the idea about it being the Shema and Shalom the Shema? That's different.
And to be complete, although it's not, it becomes a mincha when you have both on it or one on it.
No. Well, right, but there's also though. I mean, you have the word he in different contexts. You have the he that it says by mincha. By Minchas Koyte, for example, there's no Shemin and no Levona, and it says the word he after it says the word he in connection with the Knitza. But he's here, it's not saying it in connection with the Knitza.
Right.
So therefore you have a different Jerusha from it. The word Mincha is teaching us that the Mincha that was brought on the eighth day of the Milurim also required Levona, even though the Torah doesn't say so explicitly. And the word he, lahoiti, shtei alechem, that comes to exclude the shtei alechem, which we said in our mission is category 4, shalo yitin, or lo shemen, or lo levona. That the shtei alechem don't require oil or levona. The word he means teaches us that.
Not others.
Yeah. So now let's analyze, now let's start analyzing this braita. Omamar, aleha shemen, v'lo alechem aponim shemen. So we started saying the first aleha in the pasuk comes to teach us that you put oil on the minch on the omer, but you don't put it in the lechem aponim. So the question is, why? Who says that it's specifically the lechem aponim? No, who says that it's specifically the lechem aponim that we're mimayit from that? Ema aleha shemen v'leya mincha koyanim shemen. Maybe the miyot comes to teach us that a mincha of koyanim doesn't get oil. Or for that matter, Rashi says also a mincha of women or a mincha of geirim. It could be some other mincha. Well, that's the point. In other words, a minchas koyanim is not eaten. And Rashi is learning, a minchas koyanim is not eaten, so therefore maybe it doesn't require oil anyway. And Rashi is adding, by the same token, a mincha of women or a mincha of goyim, where it doesn't say anything explicitly about oil, so maybe the words aleha come to teach us that if a woman brings a mincha, or a goy brings a mincha, according to the opinion that he can, then it doesn't have oil in it. Okay, Tosfos learns differently. Tosfos says the difference is that at least a woman's mincha or a goy's mincha, if we say that they can bring, then fine, it's like any other mincha. You take a koyim to mit and the koyim eat the rest, as opposed to a mincha koyim. The whole thing is burnt on the mizbeach. So therefore, according to Tosfos, the Gemara's question is only on the mincha koyim. How do we know that the word Aleha doesn't teach us that the Mincha HaOmer gets oil, but the Mincha HaKoyinim does not? Omer Aleha Shemen, Aleha Mincha HaKoyinim Shemen. The answer is, the Gemara says, Mitzabra Mincha HaKoyinim Havalei L'Rabuyi. No, it's more logical to say that we're going to include the Mincha HaKoyinim and say that it gets oil just like the Mincha HaOmer does because they have a lot of similarities. Shekein Isorin, because both of them consist of an Isorin, as opposed to Lachem HaFonim is two Isorinim, we say every Shabbos and Davening, Shnei Isorinim Yahala Echas. So that's what Mincha HaKoyinim is one Isorin, just like any other regular Mincha. And it can be larger, because a private person can bring a larger Mincha, as we'll learn towards the end of our Masechta. But the basic amount is an Isorin, and the Omer is also one Isorin. Okay, sure. So that's one similarity between the Koyanim, Mincha, and the Omer. Another one, Kli. Another similarity that they have is they both require a Keli. For what purpose? Rashi learns that it means that, and we learned before, that, or actually we're going to learn later on in our Masechta, that when a Mincha, a standard Mincha, when you're mixing the flour and the oil together, and the water, as we learned earlier in our Perek, you have to do that in a Kli Sharis. As opposed to, Rashi says, the Lachem HaFonim does not necessarily have to be mixed in a Kli Sharis. We talked about yesterday or the day before that it could be kneaded on a leather cover, for example. You don't necessarily need a Kli Sharis.
What's Sharis, I'm sorry?
What's what?
Sharis? Kli Sharis.
Kli Sharis means a service vessel. It means a vessel, a utensil that belongs to the Bais Mikdash and has been made holy that you can use it for Karbanos.
Is it certain material?
It does. We learned earlier in the Masechta that they have to be made out of metal. They can be made out of any kind of metal. Ideally, they'd be made out of gold or silver, precious metals like that, or if they couldn't afford it, they could make them out of base metal. But yeah, they have to be made out of some kind of metal, but more to the point is a Kli Sharis, the original ones that were made when the Mishkan was first built, Moshe anointed them with Shemana Mishka, and that gave them their holiness. After that, any ones that are made in future generations become holy when they're first used for the service in the Bais Mikdash.
Okay.
So a mincha has to be kneaded, a regular mincha, at the mincha ta'omer, when it's mixed with the oil, has to be done in a Kli Sharis. A regular mincha, including a mincha ta'omer as well, on the other hand, the Lachem HaFonim does not, because it doesn't have to be done in a keli for that matter. It doesn't have to be done in a Kli Sharis at all, as we learned yesterday or the day before. It could be done on a leather sheet or something, yeah.
Katavliya,
we call it, yeah. Okay. Tosfos learns differently. Tosfos has some problems with that explanation of Rashi. Because Tosfos says that we discussed before whether the dry measuring cups were niskadish or not, and the fact is at some point the Lachem HaFonim is going to require a speech artist, because at some point it has to get its holiness, it has to get its kedusha. But Tosfos understands that what it means is the Omer and the Minchas Nesachim both have a similarity that they use the same kind of keli. They're both placed into the same kind of bowl that is used in the Bais Mikdash. As opposed to the Lachem HaFonim is not placed in such a bowl. The Lachem HaFonim is placed on the shulchan, on the table that's in the Heichal, and you have the two spoonfuls of Lavona that are with it. It uses a different kind of container. Okay, that's how Tosfos learns. Anyway, so that's the second similarity between the Omer and a Mincha of Koyanim. Number two, so therefore, once we pile up the number of similarities, we have more reasons to think that the Mincha Koyanim should be similar to the Omer in having oil, rather than saying that the word Aleha comes to tell us that not. It's more likely that we should exclude some other type of Mincha, such as we said the Lachem HaFonim, where the Lachem HaFonim is not an Isarin, it's two Isarinim. It doesn't use a Kli, according to Rashi or Tosfos, is different explanations. But you also have most menachos are prepared outside. Most menachos, where is the avodah for them done? In the azara, on the outside of the mezbeach, as opposed to the lechem aponim goes inside the heichal on the shulchan.
The avodah itself
takes place inside the heichal.
It goes on the
lechem aponim goes in the heichal.
Yeah,
that's fine. But the point is, when where is it placed? The proper place to place it is, yeah.
Shulchan
is
made of gold.
It's made of wood placed gold, yeah. Rashi also points out another similarity. Most menachos can only be eaten on the day that they're offered, whereas Lachem HaFonim stays on the shulchan for an entire week. Yeah. Okay. From Shabbos to Shabbos. Right. So that's chutz. Another one is the tzura. So actually that's the explanation of the tzura. Is usually you have, if a korban is left overnight, it's called ibur tzura, and now the korban is possible, but the Lachem HaFonim is not like that, so it stays on the shulchan for an entire week.
Okay, correct.
And, well, that's another true, that's true also, yeah. Hagosha, both the... Yeah, lachem lachem choyim v'yom yilokfei. It's possible in Shmuel that says v'yom lachem lachem choyim, to place bread that's hot v'yom yilokfei on the day that it's removed from the shulchan. There's a description of it. Anyway, let's continue. So far we have four similarities between the Omer and the Mincha of Koyanim on the one hand, which none of those similarities are shared by the lachem aponim. Isorin, not one Isorin. Keli, not a Keli, not the same kind of Keli anyway. Chut, but not chut, because the lachem aponim is inside the hekel. Sura, both the Omer and the Mincha of Koyanim would become possible if you leave them overnight. Not Sura, because the lachem aponim is left for the week. Agosha, both the Omer and the Mincha of Koyanim have to be touched, the Keli containing them has to be touched to the corner of the Mizbeach. The lachem aponim is not like that. The Ishim, and a sixth similarity is that both the Omer and the Mincha of Koyanim, part or all of them goes on the Mizbeach, the Koyanim from the Omer, and the whole thing in the case of the Mincha of Koyanim, whereas with the Lechem Aponim, none of the actual Lechem Aponim itself goes on the Mizbeach, only the spoonfuls of Levina that go along with it.
The rest goes to the Echon and the Shulchan.
No, the point is, the rest, when they take it off the following Shabbos, they distribute it among the Koyanim. The actual Lechem Aponim. No part of the Lechem Aponim is ever burnt on the Mizbeach. So you have six similarities between... The Koyanim, the whole thing is burnt. The Omer, a Koyanim of it, a handful of it is burnt, and the rest is eaten by the Koyanim. The point is that those two, the Omer and the Minchas Koyanim, on the one hand, have something that goes on the Mizbeach. The Lechem Aponim does not. So you have six similarities between the Omer and Minchas Koyanim, which none of those six things are shared by the Lechem Aponim. So if we have a word, Aleha, which is coming to tell us there is something else that is not like the Omer, more logically to say that it's Lechem Aponim. Okay, the Gemara says, Adrabba Lechem Aponim have a Leila Rabuyish. On the other hand, you could argue that the Lechem Aponim has more similarities to the Omer, or not more similarities, but at least the same number, because Shekain Sibura, because both of them are a carbon of the Sibur, whereas a Minchas Koyanim is brought by an individual person.
The same number of similarities?
Six, we're going to see, yeah. Choyva. Also, both the Omer and the Shea Lechem are required to be brought. A person doesn't have to bring a Mincha. Private person, so that's the second similarity. We're trying to prove at this point. We have the word Aleha. We have the word Aleha, which teaches us, unlike the Minchas HaOmer, which has oil. Okay. Unlike the Minchas HaOmer, which is brought on the second day of Pesach, which requires oil, there's some other type of Mincha that does not require oil. Now, what is that other type? First, we said in the Braisa, we said that other type is the Lechem Aponim. And we're arguing that's logical because Lechem Aponim is dissimilar from the Minchas HaOmer in six ways. But now we're going to argue, on the other hand, it's also similar to the Omer in six ways, as opposed to a Minchas Koyanim. So six against six, why should we prefer one over the other? So let's go through. So we have, number one, the Lechem Aponim is a carbon of the Sibur, and so is the Omer, whereas the Minchas Koyanim is not.
And
the Omer, right? So number one, they're both korban of the Sibur. Number two, choyva, they're both required to be brought, a korban of an individual korban in that. Number three, tamya, they can both be brought if the Sibur is tamay, or if the korban is tamay, or whatever, as opposed to a private person's mincha cannot be brought when it's tamay. Well, fine, but the point still remains. Number four, d'ochil. Number four, you have both the Omer and the Shealech, both the Omer and the Lechem Aponim are eaten by the Koyanim, as opposed to a Mincha of Koyanim is completely burnt on the Mizbeach. Number five, Pigula. Number five, the concept of Pigul applies to the Omer and to the Lechem Aponim, because they both have a Matir. They both have something which is offered on the Mizbeach, and then the rest is eaten, as opposed to a Mincha of Koyanim. The whole thing is burnt on the Mizbeach. It has no Matir. Therefore, Pigul doesn't apply to it.
And then it becomes Pigul.
It can't become Pigul, because you can only have Pigul in something that has a Matir, only something where you have part of it is offered, or part of a larger carbon, or whatever is offered, and that makes the rest of it Musar to eat. Here you don't have that, because the whole thing is
right. So
if he has it in mind, let's say to offer it or eat it tomorrow, it still wouldn't be Pigul, right? So that's number five.
Because,
right. And number six, the Shabbosa. Number six, the Omer takes place even if the second day of Pesach is Shabbos, as we will learn in the next class. The Lechem Aponim, by definition, is done every Shabbos. A Minchas Koyanim cannot be brought on Shabbos. So you have six, because it's a private person's korban, and private people's korbanos, they're not brought on Shabbos.
Is it a Kenyan?
No, it's not an Isser Kenyan. It's just you don't bring private people's korbanos on Shabbos. The whole concept of bringing korbanos on Shabbos only applies to karbonis of sibur, or you have the exception, you have the korban pesach, which is sort of like a korban sibur, even though it's brought by the individuals, because it's brought by the whole Jewish people collectively, together, I mean. But other than that, the whole concept of karbonis, overriding Shabbos only applies to karbonis sibur and the korban pesach. Yeah. So again, you have six similar, so again, you have the minchas ha'omer in the middle. Right, so so you have the minchas ha'omer is the original one. Now we're trying to say on the one side you have the mincha of a private kohen, on the other side you have the lachem afanim. Which one is it more similar to? Well, you got six in this direction, you got six in this direction. Why are you picking one over the other? How do we break the tie? The answer is, the Gemara says, mistabra nefesh. Fine, but it's more logical to say like this. The pasuk, when it introduces the concept of a mincha, the pasuk starts off with the words, the nefesh kisakrit. If a nefesh, meaning an individual person, offers a korban mincha, then here's how you go about it. It includes oil and it includes levana. So it's more logical, if we're going to have a choice, what kind of mincha are we going to say has oil versus what doesn't, it's more logical to say that it's going to apply to the kind that's brought by a nefesh, by an individual person, namely the mincha of the korban, rather than the lachem afanim, which is brought by the tzibur collectively.
Why is that?
Because the pasuk says v'nefesh, exactly. So when the pasuk introduces the concept of a mincha and mentions that it has three components, flour, oil, and levoina, the expression that it begins with is v'nefesh, exactly, is called a mincha, when an individual person offers a mincha. So that breaks the tie. If we have a choice between one mincha which is brought by the individual, which we're asking whether it needs oil, and a different one that's brought by the tzibur, and we're asking whether it requires oil, it's more logical to say the one that's brought by the individual, by the yachid, is the one that's going to require oil because of the word nefesh.
More than logically, it seems to exclude any korban
tzibur. No, it just means, no, because you have some korban tzibur. Again, the omer specifically says that you put oil on it.
But that's the nefesh.
That's fine, because there by the omer it says, in a fata al shemen, so it says specifically you put oil on it. But therefore, if we have a choice, what we're going to exclude, more logically, we're going to exclude a korban tzibur. Okay. Now let's go through a similar argument with the next part. Now let's go through a similar discussion with the next part of the Braisa. Okay, so anyway, so far, so good. We've established, therefore, that the first aleha, that in connection with the omer, is going to exclude the she'alechem. It has six similarities, but we connect the omer to the korban because of the six similarities plus the word next. Amamar, then we said in the Braisa, so Aleha Levoina V'loy Al Minchas Nisach in Levoina. Then we said you put Levoina on the Omer, but not on a Minchas Nisachim, because we said in our Mishnah, Minchas Nisachim is in category 2. It requires oil, it doesn't require Levoina. But now we have to discuss that. So the question is, Ema Aleha Levoina V'loy Al Minchas Koyinim Levoina. Same thing, maybe the Pasuk means to imply that a Mincha of Koyinim doesn't get Levoina. Let's go through the argument. The answer is, Mistabra, Minchas Koyanim Havalei Lenavoye. It's more logical to say, again, that the Minchas Koyanim is going to be included in the same category as the Minchas Ha'omer. Because again, Shekein Isor, it has a number of similarities, which the Minchas Nisachim does not have. Minchas Koyanim, with the Omer, has a number of similarities that the Minchas Nisachim does not have. Now those are going to be, some of them are going to be similar to the ones from the Lechem Aponim. Some of them are going to be different. For example, one of the similarities we said that the Lechem Aponim doesn't have, we said one of the ones was that the Lechem Aponim, for example, doesn't require a keli. That's not going to work for the Minchas Nisachim. That does require a keli. So we're going to have a somewhat different list of similarities. The similarities between the... let's see. We're going to have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5... Six, yeah, also six. Okay. So, So, Misabra, Mincha Koyanim Havalei Lerabuye. The answer is it's more logical to assume that the Mincha of the Koyanim is going to be like the Omer in requiring Levoina. Shekein Isorin, because again, both of them consist of an Isorin, as opposed to a Minchas Nisachim, is not always an Isorin. You have, it is when it's a sheep. But then when it's a ram, it's 2 estronim, and when it's a bull, it's 3 estronim, so it's not necessarily always an isorin.
Right.
The minchas koyanim is the minimum is an isorin, and minchas koyanim is always an isorin, right? Number 2, bowl. Number 2, you have the same amount of oil as mixed in. One lug of oil, as opposed to the minchas nisachim, the minimum is 3 lugim, and then you have 4 when it accompanies a ram, and 6 when it accompanies a bull. So you have more oil in there. Number 3, beloig. Bolo Beloig, rather, this is one thing, but it's not two separate things. Bolo Beloig, that you have mixed with one log as opposed to three or four or six in the case of Minchas Nesachim. Mugash, again, both of them require Hagosha. The Minchas Nesachim does not require Hagosha, as we're going to learn in the next Mishnah. Not the next Mishnah, but a couple of blocks from now, whatever. Minchas and Minchas Koinim both require Hagosha. They both have to be touched to the corner of the Mizbeach. The Minchas Nesachim does not. Well, they're not the only two, but the point is the Minchas Nesachim does. Most Minchas do, but the point is the Minchas Nesachim does not.
So the Minchas
Nesachim usually is Hagosha? No, well, you have the Shteya Lechem don't. The Shteya Lechem don't. The Omer we're saying does. The Lechem Aponim don't. So some do, some don't. Anyway, so that's Mugash. Biglal, your Biglal Esim. You also have the Omer and the Minchas and the Mincha of a Kohenim come as an independent korban, as opposed to the Minchas Nesachim as only an adjunct, as only a secondary thing to the main thing that's brought with it, the animal that's being brought as a korban. Well, you could bring Minchas Nesachim on its own. We actually have no, it's not massive, and we learned before it can even be brought 10 days later. And we're going to discuss later on in the section, we're going to discuss whether a person can offer a Minchas Nesachim by itself. But the point is, typically a Minchas Nesachim comes as an adjunct to an animal carbon. So therefore, so again, you have four similarities. So even though there's six words over here, two of them are similarities that are made up of two words. Soren, Bol Belug, Mugash, and Biglal Essen. So you have four similarities between the Omer and the Mincha of a Kohen, Therefore, that should be reason to say that the Mincha of a Kohen should be the same as the Omer and require Levana. Okay, again, the question is, Adam and Minchas Nesachim have a little rabbi. On the other hand, you could argue the Minchas Nesachim also has four similarities with the Omer that are different than the Minchas Nesachim. Shekain Sibura, again, both of them are Korban Sibura, the Korban or Kohen is not. Choyva, again, both of them are required, whereas the Mincha of a Kohen is not. The Itami,
it's the same.
It's the same ones as the ones we had.
No, yeah. But the fact you say that Minchas Sibura and Choyva, obviously, if it's a Minchas Sibura, it's a Choyva.
No, because you can have a Minchas Yochid that's a Choyva. You can have, for example, a person is... No, fine. You're arguing that...
Can a Minchas Sibura not be a Choyva?
Well, let's put it this way. Animal korbanos for the Sibur definitely can be. And we discussed yesterday whether it's possible for the Sibur to bring Shtei Lechem on their own. We said that not. But on the face of it, maybe the Sibur could decide to bring a Mincha of their own. At least we haven't had a source to the contrary. But definitely we know that there are animal korbanos. We know for sure that animal korbanos the Sibur can bring voluntarily, because we said you have the whole concept of Kayit and Mizbeach, that they have the six boxes over there where they take money out of it and use it for korbanos when nothing else is going on. So that we definitely have is in the Dover of the Sibur. So fine, in the case of a Mincha Megah.
That's a big difference.
It's fine, so it's an animal korban versus a Mincha. The point is, you do have a concept of a korban Sibur which is not required.
Do you have a korban Sibur in the Dover?
That is a Nadava, yes, by definition. That's why those six boxes are called Nadava, yes. Yes. The type of Zayat is Nadava, yes. Okay, so anyway. So okay, Tzibura, Choyva, the Itami, again, the Omer and the Minchas Nesachim, when it accompanies a Korban of the Sibur, they're both brought even Betruma, the Shamsa, and they're both brought even on Shabbos. Again, both of those unlike a Korban of a Kohen, so you have four against four. And again, the Sabra Nefesh, again, the same answer as before, since the Torah introduces the concept of a Mincha with the word Nefesh, with an individual person, and there it mentions Shemin and Levoina, then we should assume, then that tells us that any Mincha brought by an individual person, unless otherwise specified, needs both Shemin and Levoina. So therefore, so fine, you have the Minchas Choyta and Minchas Knois are excluded, fine, because those are those the Torah specifically says, no oil and no Levoina, but other than that.
But all the other two.
Right. Okay. Fine. So that takes care of the second part of the Braita. Next, the Braita had continued, Mincha L'Rabbit Minchas Shmini L'Levoina. We said at the end of the word Mincha in the Pasuk regarding the Omer. The word mincha over there is l'rabit minchas shmini l'levoina. That comes to teach us that also the mincha that was offered on the eighth day of the milurim, of the inauguration of the Mishkan, that one also required l'levoina. So the question is, eim l'hoiti. How do you know that the word mincha over there comes to include a different mincha? Maybe just the opposite. Maybe it comes to exclude only this mincha gets, but the mincha that was brought on that day, on the eighth day of the milurim, does not get.
Where was that?
The Pasuk had said, V'nasata ala Hashem, and you should place oil on it, you know what? Let's get a chumash. Let's get a chumash because we're referring to the topic of one. I'll show it to you first. It's in Vayikra Perkei. You should place on it, meaning the owner, shemen. You should place oil on it. And you should place levoina, frankincense, on it. Mincha hi, it is a mincha.
Yeah.
So now we're dealing with the word mincha from that topic.
Right.
Yeah. So the question is, here we're saying the word mincha comes to include a different type of mincha, namely the one that was brought on the eighth day of the Milurim, but how do you know? Maybe it means to exclude that one.
In the Pasuk of Nasata Aleh.
Yeah, in the Pasuk of Nasata Aleh, yeah. You want to take a look at it, Yaakov? Okay. Sigmar says, Hai Mai, what kind of an argument is that? If you say that the word mincha is coming to include that korban that was brought on the eighth day of the Milurim Shapur, well then that makes sense. You need a pasuk to tell us, because otherwise you would think it didn't. Eli yamach lahoitzi, but if you're going to argue that the word mincha comes to exclude that one, lamali, why would you need to exclude it anyway? By default, we would assume that it didn't, because as we said before, shah midoris loyalfin, and as we said a few days ago, you don't learn something that takes place as a one-time thing from things that take place. That was a one-time carbon. It was only brought on the eighth day of the Milurim. To learn it from regular carbonists that are brought on an ongoing basis, you don't do that. So if you didn't have the word mincha, and if you didn't have the word mincha at all, you would think, okay, the one on the eighth day didn't require levina. You wouldn't need a pasuk to tell us specifically it shouldn't require levina. By default, it's not going to require levina. So the fact that we have a word mincha must mean that the Torah wants to include that one, not to exclude it. What about then we said he lahoti shtelech, and then we said the word he, the last word of that. Yeah. Also include shah, to include that one kind part. Right. Okay. Then we said he lahoti shtelech, and then we said the word he at the end of that part that comes to exclude the shtelech. We said that the shtelech was saying do not require oil and do not require levina. So again, the question is, again, let's argue that the word he comes to exclude the minchas kohenim, and not the shteilachim. The answer is, mitzabra, minchas kohenim, havalei l'rabuye, it's more law, and by the way, you have the Spatemis, for example, explains that what the Gemara is really asking over here is, who says you should include the mincha of the eighth day and exclude the shteilachim, maybe the other way around? Well, why should you? I mean, you're saying to include one and exclude the other. Fine, but that's what the Gemara is asking. Fine, the Gemara is asking over here, that one is to be my, but one is to be my. How do you know it's not the other way around? Maybe we'll be my, the one. So, okay, so that's where we answered the first part of it. Show me yours. Yeah, okay, so the aim of Lahoisi Minchas Koinim. So say maybe that the word he again comes to tell us that the Minchas Koinim after all doesn't get oil or Lavoina. The answer is Mistabra, Minchas Koinim, Havale, Lelaboya. Yes, but it's more logical to include the Minchas Koinim because again, it has a lot of similarities with the Omer. Shetain Isorin, both of them again consist of an Isorin. Kli, they both require a Kli, like Rashi and Tosha said before. The Omer and the Minchas Koinim. Again, as opposed to the Shteilechem, which the Shteilechem consists of more than one Isorin, the two Isorinim. They don't require a Kli, according to Rashi or Tosha's explanation. Masa. No, Tosha gave a different explanation. That Kli means that they don't use the same type of Kli. The Minchas HaOmer and the Minchas HaOmer and the Mincha of Kohenim and the Minchas HaSachem all are brought to the Mizbeach in a bowl, as opposed to the Shteilech, as opposed to the Lachem HaPonim go on the Shulchan, and the Shteilech, you don't need any particular kind of Kohenim. Yeah, you carry them. Yeah. Okay, so that's Kli. Masa, they're both Masa, as opposed to the Shteilech of Shavuot HaChomet. The Esem, they're both the Omer and the Mincha of Kohen are brought as independent Korbanot. The Shteilech are brought together with the two sheep. The Shteilechem are not Masa, they're Chomets. They're Chomets, right? Yeah. Hagosha, the Mincha of a Kohen and the Omer both require Hagosha. The Shteilechem don't. That's Hagosha. The Ishim, and both of them have parts that are burnt on the fire as opposed to the Shteilechem do not. So therefore, you have a lot of similarities. Okay, the Gemara asks, Adraba, But on the other hand, you could also, we have six similarities, but on the other hand, you could argue on the contrary. Shtealechem havalei l'rabuya. You should argue that the shtealechem instead should be the ones that are included, that require the oil and require the levina, and not the mincha kohenim, because they have a lot more similarities. Chicken sivir, they're both a korban of a sivir. Toiva, they're both required to be brought at a certain time. Tanya, they can both be brought with truma. De'ochal, both of them are eaten. Similar to before. De'ochal, well, here we're going to have even more. De'ochal, both of them are eaten, as opposed to the mincha of the kohenim is completely burnt on the mizbeach. Pigula, they're both subject to pigul, as opposed to the mincha kohenim, again, is not subject to pigul, because none of it is eaten. It has no matzir. The shamsa, they both are offered on Shabbos. The mincha of a private person is not. And we have even more similarities. That's where we're already up to six similarities, and now we have even more. Matir, both the Omer and the Shealechem are both Matir, something that was also before that. As opposed to Minchas Kohenim, not Matir anything. The Omer is Matir, as we're going to talk about in the next parak, that the Omer is Matir before the Omer is offered in the Mishmish. So you're not allowed to eat Chodosh, you're not allowed to eat that year's new crop of grain. And then the Shealechem accomplished the same thing as far as the Beit Mikdash. Before that, before the Shealechem are brought, you're not supposed to offer menachas that are made from that year's new grain crop. We're going to learn later on in the Masechta. It's not possible, but if you do, but nevertheless, that's the Hachilah is supposed to be that way. As opposed to the Minchas Kohenim is not Matir anything. So that's the Shealechem are Matir Chodosh to be offered in the Beit Mikdash. The Omer is Matir Chodosh to be eaten by regular people. So therefore, they're both.
The
Shealechem, of course. And the Omer on the second day. So the second day of Pesach, once the Omer is brought, you, a private person, are allowed to eat but not to offer in the Beit Mikdash. That you have to wait till Shavuot.
No, it's not.
And we'll talk about later on in the Masechta about it, and we'll talk about what it talks about in the Chassidus. We'll get to that transition. Okay. Also, Tnufa, both the Omer and the Shealechem are waived, whereas a private person's Mincha is not. Ba'oreth, both of them have to be brought from grain that grew in Eretz Yisrael, as opposed to a regular person's mincha does not. Midrabanan, I guess it does, because otherwise it would be Tomei, but Midrabanan, yeah. Bizman, they both have to be brought on a certain date, as opposed to a private person's mincha can be brought anytime during the year. And then, nothing fun much in with, yeah. Chodosh. Yeah, there's only one day Shavuot in Eretz Yisrael. And Chodosh, and both of them have to be brought from the New Year's crop, as opposed to a regular person's mincha can be brought from stored grain. Then, so we'll learn actually in the next parak, there were times in history when the crop was destroyed, and therefore they had to go further afield, but they still managed to find something in Eretz Yisrael.
Always.
Well, yeah. We'll learn in the next parak. We'll have a little piece of Agadah involving Mordechai. We'll get there in a few days. That's a shame. Okay. And Vahani Nefishon. Now let's count. How many similarities did we have here between the Omer and the Shealechem? Sibur, Choiva, Tamya, De'ochel, Pigula, Beshavsa, Matir, Tnufa, Ba'oreth, Bizman, Chodosh. We had 11 similarities. We only have 6 similarities between the Omer and the Mincha Torah. So that's the question. So the answer is Mstabra Nefesh, yes, but still Nefesh. Nevertheless, we're still going to say that Nefesh is stronger than all that. Because the Chachamim had the Kabbalah. This is how it is. We're trying to figure out how we derive from the Sukkim, but that's how we have to do it. Yeah, but that's how it is. Ultimately, the Chachamim, you have a bit of a discussion. Is it that the Chachamim Gaushin the Sukkim, and that is how they derive the Halachas, or is it maybe the other way around? Is it they knew the Halacha as an independent thing, and then they're searching where in the Sukkim do we see it? So from this Gemara, it seems more like the second way, because otherwise, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, we got 6, yeah.
No, but it's
not a Nefesh. No, right. But no, Nefesh joins together with the other 6. But yeah, okay. You know what? If you want to douche in it, you could say Nefesh is, you have 5 aspects of Neshama, and Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chai, Yechida. So 6 + 5 equals 11, and therefore you balance. I don't know. A nice Shabbos of God is also that I'll make. But yeah, okay. Fine.
Where did you get that?
I just thought of it. Okay. Well, sorry. Okay. Mishnah.
And the
6 similarities. Yeah. Okay.
Still
stuck. Yeah. Okay, so let's go on. Mishnah says. Now, we said at the end of the previous Mishnah, we said that a minchas koise and a minchas knoi do not have oil and do not have levoina. They're just plain flour. So now let's talk about that. The Mishnah says, v'chayev al Hashem in b'tnei atzmoi, if a person were to put oil on a milchat kote, then he would be chayev for that alone, v'chayev al levoina b'tnei atzma, and he would be chayev and put levoina on it. Because those, the Torah actually spells it out. Yesterday we talked about an idea that sometimes the Torah will say, don't do X or Y, and we discussed how many malchus does a person get for it. Here the Torah clearly says, lo yosim alav shemen, lo yosim alav shemen, lo yosim alav levoina. So it clearly says, loy for each one individually. So therefore, a person... That's the point. In other words, for both the minchas chote and the minchas knoi, the pasuk uses an expression, it puts the word loy twice. So therefore, there's no question, yeah, in the case of the minchas chote, near the end of Parshas Vayikra, the expression is lo yosim olei Hashem, and you should not put oil on it, v'lo yitin olei levoina, and you should not put levoina on it. So that means definitely two separate lines. Yeah, so if it wasn't for both shemen and levoina, you'd be chayav double. Yeah. And the same thing is the sota, yeah. So there also, the Torah says, lo yitzik olav shemen, v'lo yitzin olav levoina. Same thing. Okay. So therefore, a person would be chayav malchus individually for doing either one of those things. Okay, continue. Then he'd be chayav double malchus, of course. Okay. Nothing allows shemen. What if a person does put oil on one of these menachos? Posla. Then he made it posla because there's no way to get the oil out of it. Once the oil is there with the flour, there's no way of getting it out. On the other hand, so therefore, if he put oil on it, not only he gets malchus, but also the mincha itself is posla. Because the point is, as opposed to levoina, as opposed to if you put levoina on it, you're laktena. Then it doesn't make the mincha itself possible, because you can collect the levoina from on top of it. The levoina comes as like grain-like pieces or whatever, so you can... It doesn't matter. Smell doesn't count for anything. Yeah. Okay. Probably be too late. It would say that's a good point, but no, because Lita class A is when the Torah tells us, if you did such and such wrong, then do such and such. A person stole the Heshev as Agzela. A person left over Noiser, burn it the next day. Here the Torah doesn't say, take away the Shem and take away the Levoin. There's no Lita class A. So he was over on it, and the Torah would have to say it, yeah. So he still will get malchus, but the difference is oil, the mincha will be possible, and there's nothing necessarily done about it. Although the Chazanish wants to say that maybe, for example, let's say he only poured a little bit of oil on it, and it is possible to collect all the flour that was moistened by the oil and remove it, then fine, you'll have less than any store in a flour. Fine, no problem, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, so you can now add extra flour into the container to bring it back up to any store, and then go ahead. So the rest of it doesn't become possible because of a little bit of oil that got into one part of it.
The levoina wasn't grinded, it wasn't
powdered. The Gemara is going to talk about what happens if it was powdered levoina away. The question is, what if the levoina is powdered? But hold that thought, we're going to talk about that in the Gemara. Okay. Fine, continue the mission.
Usually it wasn't.
Nothing shemen al shiogeha. Another case, if a person takes the remainder of the minchas chote or minchas chnois and puts oil on it, ain't over the loisa, say he's not over on a lav for doing that, because the Torah is only concerned that you're not allowed to put oil on it before the kohenim was taken. There is some discussion, not on the Shirayim, there is some discussion among the Achronim, though, do we mean to say you shouldn't do it, but if you do, you won't over on a loisa, or maybe you're allowed to even on a chila. It's not so clear what the halacha is. The Rambam doesn't say in so many words. So you have different understandings of the Rambam among different proportions. One possibility is maybe there'd be a difference between before the kohenim was burnt versus afterwards. Okay. We actually have, by the way, as far as the kohenim itself, we have the Shlokish telling us in the Masechta earlier that you could actually soak the kohenim in oil of a mincha kosha and then burn it. Yeah, we said that he could take it. We mentioned that there. Okay. Nothing clear. And then you can burn it. Nothing clear gabe kli. What happens if you put a container that has oil in it on top of the container containing the mincha? Loy posle, he didn't make the mincha posle by that. When the Torah says, lo yosim, olei Hashem, it doesn't mean you're not allowed to put a container of oil. It means you're not allowed to actually pour oil on it. So just putting a container of oil on top of it didn't change anything.
I would break it.
Container of oil on the mincha? Come on, we're not talking about 600, yeah, we're talking about a small container of oil, whatever. Okay. So, let's start the Gemara. Turn it up on, we learn it in Braitha. The Pasuk says, lo yosim olei Hashem, and the Pasuk says you shouldn't place oil on the mincha chayte, the imstam, and so if a person does put oil on it, possible, and he made the oil possible, and he made the carbon possible. Yochol, so you would think the same thing applies, lo yosim olei levoina, the imnotam possible, you would think the same thing applies to levoina, you're not allowed to put it. And if he did, then he makes it possible. on a minchas chayzin. Tamud loyma ki chasas. No, the Torah continues because a chasas. In other words, even if Lavona was placed on it, it can still be considered a chasas. It can still accomplish kapara. Yachol ach b'shemen. So in that case, you would think maybe the same thing even applies to the oil. You're not allowed to put it, but if you did, the mincha doesn't become possible. Tamud loyma ki. Therefore, the pasuk says he to forestall that idea. Because you would think maybe it means, because who says that Yosem Aleil Shemen and Yosem Aleil Levona means, and if you did it, makes it kosher? Maybe it means, if you did it, you're over on a loy, that's there, you're chayav malchus, but the mincha itself remains kosher. And so we're saying, because it says kichasas, but then it says he, one is a ribui, one is a miut, so we're including the case where Levona was placed, but we're taking out the case where Shemen was placed. So the question is, Amara Issa Lista L'Shemen L'Hashab L'Levona. What's the logic to say that if oil was put, then it's possible, and if Levona was put, it's kosher? The reason is, Poifani V'Shemen, I'm going to say that it's possible if you put oil, she'i Yashal L'Lakta, because you can't take out all the oil. Umashani V'Levona, whereas we're going to argue that it's kosher if Levona was put, she'i Yashal L'Lakta, because you can still collect it all. Yeah. If it's powder. So Rava Bar Avuna asks Rav Yechanan, "Nothing alei levoina shchuka mahu. What if you put on this minchas chayta? What if you put powdered, ground up levoina? Do we say the reason why it's kosher in the usual case, mishum de efshel loyta, because you're able to take it off, you're able to collect it all off? V'hola efshel loyta, if it's powdered, you can't." Or maybe what the Torah is saying is that you're not allowed to have levoin on it because you don't want the mincha to absorb it. Well then, here the levoin is not absorbed into the flour of the mincha. They're still separate things in principle. It's just you can't pick it all out, but it's not actually absorbed. No, but it's not really absorbed. You don't have the yavish. The yavish doesn't really get absorbed. Yeah. Okay. Toshma, I'll approve from the Arm Mishnah said, Levoina Yilachsena. We said that if you put Levoina on the Mincha, you should pick it all off. So therefore implying that you have to be able to pick it off. Like Moses, maybe Duma Chodova Oid Kama. Maybe the Mishnah is only mentioning one out of two reasons that it doesn't make it possible. Choda Dele Mivra. Number one, because it doesn't actually get absorbed, they're actually still side by side over there, and in principle, it could be separated. Dilma Chodev Oid Ka'amah, maybe the Mishnah is only mentioning one out of two possible reasons why a Minchas Chayta is kosher if Levona is placed on it. Number one, it's kosher because in any case, it didn't get absorbed. The flour is still flour, it's still plain flour. Yeah, not so much it can be removed, but it didn't actually absorb. The granules of flour and the granules of Levona sit next to each other. In practice, you can't remove them. But in principle, but they're still separate entities, as opposed to oil gets absorbed into the flour. So that's one. V'oid, yolakena, number two, if it's regular Levona, then you're able to collect it. But nevertheless, we could argue powder. That's the question. Maybe the Mishnah is only telling us one out of two reasons why it should be kosher. So therefore, if it was powdered levina, you can't collect it, it is true, but nevertheless, it's still not absorbed, maybe it's still kosher. Well, we don't know yet. Wait. Toshma, Masha ani the levina she'efshel l'lochta. Let's see. The Braita said that levina is kosher because you can collect it, implying on the face of it that you have to collect it. And again, the answer is, Hochanami chodeva oid kama. No, because the Braita can also be saying one out of two possible reasons. My Havi Allah, so we don't know yet. My Havi Allah, what's the bottom line? No, Raisa sometimes clarify more than Mishnayot, but they don't have to. So my Havi Allah, what's the bottom line as far as this question? Amr of Nachmeis Chakanya, it's like this. We learn in a Raisa, Minchas Choyte or Minchas Knois Shanosna Le Levoina. If you put Levoina on one of these Menachas, Malakat Hasa Levoina, you have to collect the Levoina, Ukshera, and then the Mincha is Kosher. However, the im adshalay liket levoinasa. But if before he, as long as he didn't collect the levoina, then the korban is considered possible. So therefore, chishev aleha, if he had a wrong machshava in one of the avodas of this korban before the levoina was removed, bein chutzas mane bein chutzas makayme, whether it was a thought of chutzas mane which ordinarily would make it kibul or chutzas makayme which would make it possible, either way, possible v'ein by kardes because it's a possible mincha at this point. The initial licket, because there's no kardes, because it's not part of the fossil, and we learned before that part it can only be tigel if there's no other tool. The initial licket levoinah the machshav aleha, but if he had the machshava after he collected the levoinah from off it, then it becomes kosher again. Therefore, chutz l'makayma. So if he has a thought of chutz l'makayma, then as usual, fossil the ain't by kardes, it only makes it fossil, it's not tigel. Chutz l'zmano, if he has a thought that he's going to eat it or burn it or whatever, chutz l'zmano, tigel v'chayav n'alakardes. So therefore, so we see from this braisa, as long as Levoina is on this mincha, it's possible. So therefore, the key thing is whether Levoina was collected. The Rambam apparently, by the way, because it can't be collected, right. The Rambam apparently understands the Gemara differently because the Rambam says it's not flat out kosher, it's just a topic whether it's kosher or not. If powder is Levoina. The Gemara seems to be, but apparently the Rambam's understanding of it was that's the, yeah. Okay. Fine. The Gemara continues the discussion. The Tehevi Pach. Now the question is like this. As long as the Levoina is on this mincha, why are we saying that if he has a machshava later on, then if he has a machshava later on after it's collected, then, no, what we're asking is like this. As long as the Levoina is on it, how are we saying that if you were to have a machshava of chutzos mano, chutzos mekoimo, it would make it possible, and that soul would remain even after the Levoina was removed? On the face of it, it should be the equivalent of as if oil was poured into it. Because, again, the Levoina is still on it. We're not talking about powdered Levoina anymore. We're talking about regular Levoina. But still, it's on there. Therefore, right now, the mincha is possible because it can't be used as a mincha because it's got Levoina on it. So therefore, we should argue that it's a Vamai Pasul Machshava. So why is it possible if he has a Machshava on it where that soul will remain, Pach means a jug of oil. We should consider as if a jug of oil fell into it and got mixed with it. At that point, the fact that Levoina is still on it, at that point, it's not usable as a minchas poitzer. So therefore, the machshava should have no effect on it, and therefore, only after you take off the Levoina should a machshava be able to be effective. It shouldn't be able to be effective as long as the Levoina on it. In other words, the question is, on the face of it, the mincha is dochui at this point. It's pushed off from being a valid mincha. So machshava shouldn't have any more effect on it than it would on something that's not a mincha. Why are we... Because the Levoina has not yet been removed.
But it's still removable.
It is removable. So after it's removed, fine, a machshava can be chalal. But as long as the Levoina is on it, then it should be possible. It should be dichri. It should be pushed off. It's not usable right now as a korban. Therefore, the machshava should have no effect on it.
One second.
Right now, it can't be used as a minchat korban. Okay.
So why should we pass with
it's not movable? Because right now it's dochui. Right now it's pushed off from being a carbon. Because right now, in its current state, it can't be used as a carbon. That's the question. So therefore, it should be dochui. It should be the equivalent of, as if it never became a mincha in the first place, and if a person has a machshava on it, nothing happens. So it should be the same thing over here. Amar Abaye, the Abaye answers, chatas kaya rachmana. The answer is, given that the pasuk calls it a chatas, even after he placed the Levoina, then therefore that means it has the ability to become pasul with machshava, even though, yes, right now it can't be used, but the Torah is telling you this is an exception to the rules of dichri. Abaye is saying this is an exception to the rules of dichri. The Torah calls it a chatas. Therefore, it's still considered a chatas, even when it has Levoina on it. It's a pasul a chatas right now, but it's not considered dichri for this purpose. Rava Omer, because he knows that's what the Torah calls a chatas. Rava Omer Homani Chonan Amitzrihu. Rava says a different answer. You don't have to say that. It's because you could say that this Braisa goes according to Chonan Amitzri, the left leg Jichuyin, where Chonan Amitzri does not hold of the whole concept of Jichuyin. He holds there's no such thing as a korban being that as a korban being disqualified such that the dinim of a korban don't apply to it. We learned it before. The Tanya, as we learned in a Braisa, Chonan Amitzri Omer, we talked earlier in our Masechta about the case involving the two Se'irim of Yom Kippur, where if one of them dies, what do you do with the other one? Then you have to, the Chachamim say over there, you have to get rid of the other one and start with a new pair. Chonan Amitzri Omer, Chonan Amitzri says no, after the Dambakoit, even if the blood of the Seir Lashem is already in the Mizrach, is already in the basin, and then the third of Mishaleach dies before you can take it all away to Azazel. Maybe Chaveda Shalei Baglala. You can bring another goat without having to do another girdle. Umizavigloy and tear it up with it. So he holds, in other words, the Chachamim would hold to the concept of the Dichui. The third of Mishaleach and the blood of the third of Hashem is considered Dichui. And therefore you'd have to pour it out and start with a new pair of animals. The Chachamim say that way. Chonan Amitzri disagrees with that, so he doesn't hold on the concept of dichui. Rav Ashi says, here's a third answer. Kol shebiyadoi lo yhave dichui. Any time that you're able to fix up the situation yourself, like over here, you are able to collect the Levoina off it. Lo yhave dichui, then that's not considered dichui. Because you're able... No, Chanan HaMitzri said there's no such concept as dichui at all. Rav Ashi would say it depends whether you're able to fix up the dichui situation or not. If it's a situation where you're able to fix up this, where you're able to fix it up, for example, here you can collect the levoina, then it's not considered dichui. So therefore, until it's not considered dichui at all. Therefore, machshava can be effective on the korban even when it still has the levoina.
That's the question I was asking.
Yeah. Okay. So Ravan, that's what Ravashi said. Let's finish off of here. Omer of Ada, Kavaseder of, we'll try. Omer of Ada, Kavaseder of Ashi Mitzabra, Rav Ada says it's logical to follow Rav Ashi's logic of what he said, that if it's Viyodoy, then it's not Dichuy. Deman Shamat Le Isle Dichuy, because which Tana do we find hold of the whole concept of Dichuy? Rav Yehudahi, we see that Rav Yehudah is the one who said that. The Tanan is learning a Mishnah. The Oid Omer of Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says in that connection of the two Seirim of Yom Kippur, Nishbach Adam, if the blood of the Seir Lashem spilled, Yom Samishaleach, then you have to leave the Seir Lashem to die and store it over with a new pair of animals. Nes Samishaleach, and the other way around, if the Seir Lashem died, Yishofech Adam, you have to spill out the blood of the Seir Lashem and store it over again. So he clearly holds the concept of Dichui, even with living animals. The Ilahecha, the Biyodei, but yet you have a case where the person is able to do something to fix up the situation. Tanya, we learn in a braisa, Rabbi Yehuda, you fill up a cup with the mixed blood of the korbanos pesach that's all over the floor of the azara after they finish, in case some of it spilled out of the kevi, and you sprinkle it, one sprinkle on the wall of the mizeach above the yisoid. So we see that he says, why? Because you're able to fix up the situation. You might have that the blood spilled out of the mizeach and now can't be used for sprinkling. Now you're going to fix it up. So even though it was dochri, he's still saying that you're able to undo the situation. So we see, therefore, it's logical to follow Rav Ashi's logic of how dichui works, that if you're able to, that if it's something that you are able to undo, then it's not considered dichui.
It's not a definitive.
No, it is definitive. That's what we're saying.
If you're able to do it.
Yeah. Okay, so one more thing. Amr of Yitzchak for Rav Yosef, Amr of Yechanan, nothing mashu shemen al gabe kezayit mincha, if you put even a tiny amount of oil on a kezayit of a mincha, kosel, then thereby you made it kosel. Even though it was only a small amount of the mincha, nevertheless the mincha as a whole becomes kosel. My timer, why? Because the pasuk says, lo yosim, which means you shouldn't place oil. Mincha kaita we're talking about. Meaning, sima kol dehu, it means, lo yosim means even a tiny amount that you place. On the other hand, aleha, when the pasuk says aleha, meaning on it, means there has to be a significant amount, ad di'ika shi'ura. Only if there's a shear there, so therefore it has to be the amount of the mincha that the oil got onto has to be at least a kezayit. But the amount of oil that you place on could even be a drop. That would be enough to topple the mincha.
How do you going to measure a kezayit on a mincha?
What do you mean? You have a mincha is in a container over there. Okay, yeah, let's say a kezayit, so it was separated out in the container. And then the oil went into more than a kezayit. Then you had the mincha as a whole. Because the mincha as a whole was more than a kezayit, and a drop of oil went on it. The point is, in other words, if you had less than a kezayit that was separated out, and a drop of oil went on it, it wouldn't topple the mincha. You'd remove that part. And then replace it.
How mountain are you on suffix of volume?
On suffix of volume of what?
In other words, if you don't know if it's about a kezayit, it's not so much a kezayit.
So then I guess we would have to assume the suffix that the mincha is possible and stored over with a new one.
You'd be very mountain about
it? I guess you'd have to. I guess you'd have to.